And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're here to talk some dynasty football. We mentioned it last week. We talked some OTAs, situations to watch for quarterbacks. If you did not tune into that episode, rewind. Check it out. All right, go over some basic OTA, what to take away, what not to. Synopsis, don't overreact. All right, even with that, we had some injuries. You know, we saw some players lame up a little bit and get sat. Ricky Purcell is one of those. We saw some of them end their season, and that is Donald Parham. Other than that, it's been a pretty clean bill of health across the league thus far. Some minor injuries, some other stuff that's just kind of still lingering. So no real news to report out of that. Not much going on either, really, in that NFL landscape. You know, just the OTA hype, up, down, people making claims for certain players, etc. That's that time of year. That's June in fantasy football. With us as dynasty managers, though, there are some edges to be had, some players to make. We have those startups flying up. We have some trades, etc. going on. So let's continue talking about the OTAs and what situations are sticky moving forward, okay, whether it's dynasty or it's just 2025 contending dynasty. You know, as we start to get closer to the season, we're still playing to win the game, all right? Even in dynasty, we still want to win those championships, all right? We do want to keep that longevity on our roster and try to build towards the youthful side. However, don't always get yourself stuck into that forever rebuild, and that's where some of this looking in the shorter lens can help us take away some of that information. And OTAs is really where you're looking. It's a little bit more of a redraft type of territory. Obviously, you want to see the rookies come in and look the part. But for rookies that we're looking at here, sometimes it takes a bit. So we're not making drastic claims from this. We've seen it year in and year out. The player gets touted, doesn't perform. The player gets dismissed, and is the one that we should have been looking at. So, again, patience is key. But let's talk about those running backs, okay? The running back class was historic to some degree, and we were very, very excited for this class coming in, and I would argue that we should be a little disappointed with some of those landing spots and just how many were really taken and how long it took for some of them to come off the board. Now, we did have a lot, and I made the claim prior to the draft that it felt like there were more secondary running backs in this class than true workhorse, elite-level talented players. And that's where the depth came from, is that there was the depth players available to NFL players to fit roles and be quality handcuff/backup/role players for an NFL roster, which doesn't always garner huge fantasy success. And we're probably going to see that. We're not going to get as many quality fantasy running backs as we had hoped to out of this class. Okay, you have your obviouses in Austin Gentry. You also have Omarion Hampton, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson. We're not going to really talk a ton about those players here because most of those situations are pretty wrapped up. All right, I mean, I guess you could argue the Brown situation's a little sticky, but it really feels like it's Quinshon Judkins and Jerome Ford. Pretty straightforward to me there. We also are looking at situations that may have some long-term effects as well as just that short-term in some of these situations, because I'm sure some of these players will be replaced in the coming seasons. But let's not bury that lead. Let's just dive into it here a little bit. And let's talk about one of the higher named players that many people liked, and that is going on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, so let's start it out. Jaylen Warren, the player that everybody has wanted and clamored for 4 years, again, finds himself in a tough situation to really be given a lead role. They basically drafted Najee Harris 2.0 in Caleb Johnson this year in the draft. Last season, Jaylen Warren, from weeks 11 to 17, once getting back to full health, was running back 20, about where he's statistically fallen for a majority of the seasons, 11.2 PPR points, very serviceable player for us in the flex positions on a weekly basis. Now, Najee Harris during that same span was running back 22, 10.6 All right. So again, the messy situation that Arthur Smith loves at the running back position. Okay. Last season, according to FTN data, his avoided tackle rate was 21.7%, 21st in the league. 11.7 explosive run rate was 17th in the league. So those two numbers are good predictors to where a player currently stands, especially at the running back position. You want them making guys miss. That gets more yardage. Explosive runs, bigger plays, moves chains, more fantasy points. Straightforward. Those are the two that you're really looking at. All right. Yards per carry is an interesting one. It's one that I take into account a little bit, but you have to compare it really kind of across players within the same team a little bit more than league-wide, because it's still some offensive line stat as well in there. But back to the Steelers and back to Jaylen Warren v. Caleb Johnson. It's a situation I want to monitor through OTAs, through training camp as we head towards the season. Johnson really had a solid freshman year, kind of disappeared as a sophomore, exploded in his final season at Iowa for over 1,400 yards and 21 touchdowns. According to PFF, he had a 13% explosive run rate and a 26% missed tackles forced per touch. So good numbers there for him. He's an explosive short area guy, pretty powerful, added on some serious weight coming in. He was a little bit smaller in size, a little bit more of a receiver when he came into Iowa. Really exploded into kind of putting it behind himself to become a power runner and add that to his repertoire. And he has, with that, has lost a little bit of the long speed, but he does definitely have that short area burst and ability to make players miss in the hole and or run them over, either direction, a la Najee Harris. Okay, maybe you could argue he's a little bit more explosive in the short areas than Najee Harris was. Harris is a little bit more of a long strider. Johnson's a little bit quicker foot work as well as quicker top speed for Caleb Johnson. So I think we're going to see a little bit of that sticky situation. I think Warren and Najee Harris end up being a split touch, fall into those low-end RB20 territory for both of these players. But it's a situation to monitor. Maybe Caleb Johnson can push Jaylen Warren out of the way. Maybe Johnson fails, and we do get that finally coveted Jaylen Warren breakout. So worth monitoring. Pay attention to it. See what's happening. See where your league stands on some of these players. Maybe two players that you could kind of buy into. I'm fine buying into both of them. To be honest, Warren's price shouldn't be overly expensive. And Caleb Johnson, I like the profile. I would, if the cost was right, I'd acquire him. But he's not a player I'm not actively getting. I would say both of these players, probably not active, but worth adding if needed. Okay. Let's talk about a messier situation, and one a little near and dear to my heart, as one of my favorite players has moved on from Denver to Dallas. All right, so we got to talk about the Cowboys here. We have what is probably a three-headed monster headed into the 2025 season, and maybe Nick Chubb could end up here. He's out there on the market. J.K. Dobbins has some type of sign thing with the Chargers. Saw a few weeks back, but still really not on the roster. Maybe he ends up here. Just collecting all of the dust. Could be the Dallas Cowboys here, because that seems what they did thus far through the process. Okay, as much as I love Javonte Williams, we have seen a significant fall off from that rookie season post knee injury. Last season for the Broncos, he finished as running back 31 in PPR, scoring 9.2. A lot of that coming heavily through some receiving work, something that he is quality at. Very decent runner as well. 14.4 avoided tackle rate, according to FTN data, was 43rd. Not ideal. Kind of middle of the pack ish in the league. When we're talking about qualifying running backs, he's near the bottom, as well as his explosive run rate at 9.4 was 36th. Neither of them scream go by Javonte Williams, and I probably won't tell you that, okay? As much as I love Javonte Williams, he's a hold for me if I roster him. Unless someone's giving me crazy value, then sure, take him, have fun. But don't think that's happening. Is there fantasy value here for Javonte Williams as a contender? Yes, for sure. I do think that he's probably the guy in this backfield. He's better than Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders hasn't even topped 500 yards on the ground since 2022 and really been a decent receiver at best, if we want to give him that, catching 71 balls for over 300 yards and a touchdown in Carolina for the past two seasons. So Miles Sanders may be more cooked than Javonte Williams. So at this point, I am leaning towards Javonte Williams. The wild card of this three-headed monster would be rookie Jaden Blue, who they selected out of the University of Texas. Last season, he did top 1,000 scrimmage yards and is really only opportunity to become the guy, obviously battling Roshan and Bijan Robinson for multiple seasons there in the Texas backfield. But he did have 42 receptions for over 360 yards, kind of where he makes his hay. Kind of a third down, speedy type of player that is a very good complement to what Javonte Williams will bring them. Williams, still a good pass catcher, can kind of play three downs. Really feels like the Zeke Elliott role, where I feel like Jaden Blue could be the Tony Pollard role we've seen in the past from this offense. I know it's a different regime, so it's probably not going to break down exactly the same. But to give you a picture, that's what I kind of envision from this backfield. Jaden Blue, a very explosive guy. 0.26 missed tackles forced, according to Pro Football Focus. Less explosive than I thought, but only 11% explosive run rate. Not terrible. Average, kind of, I would say, at that running back rate, but a little bit lower than some other guys. And for the speed that he does hold, I thought that would be a little bit more. Obviously, he makes his hay kind of in the screen games where he has some space, and that's where the speed really shows up. More so, the explosive run rate has to do with his inconsistencies with the vision and kind of just the work through the offensive line and the second level of a defense. Also, his size not really being able to make too many people miss if they do get hands on him. So there's work to be had for Jaden Blue, but I do think that he's the wild card in this situation, a player that I was investing in rookie drafts. If you haven't had yours later in the draft, decent dart throw. In startup drafts, I think they're probably going to have some good value in Javonte and Jaden Blue. If you want to wait, these are great players that you could add at the back end of your roster that shouldn't cost you too much. But again, let's watch how the situation falls out. Maybe Miles Sanders resurrects himself. Maybe. Seems unlikely, but it's a situation to watch. Early on, my hand is Javonte and Jaden Blue are probably going to be the two most valuable of this backfield. All right. Let's go north, back to the AFC North. Maybe I should have stayed there before going back to Dallas, but we're going to bounce around. Why not bounce around a little bit, right? All right, Cincinnati, boys and girls. We got a vaunted passing attack. T. Higgins, Mike Gesicki. Let's see here. Jamar Chase. Oh, yeah, I got Joe Burrow, right? Yeah. Who cares about the rest, right? Well, we got a running back room. Chase Brown was pretty solid for us last season. However, they did want to compliment Chase Brown. Brown cannot handle that significant workload. We saw him come up with a little bit of some injuries. We saw them try to get Zach Moss involved. But Zach Moss's career continued last season with much of the same of injuries, really hindering his ability to get on the field and really show some promise. I mean, we saw it when he was in Indianapolis, when he was able to stay on the field, there was viability. He's shown that throughout his career, even while he was at Utah, in Buffalo, etc. There's some talent there to be had for Zach Moss and very much a viable NFL running back. But the injuries are the problem, and that's what could open up the door for the rookie that they took this season in Taj Brooks out of Texas Tech. Brooks is an explosive runner. He really is. He's a quick, twitchy, lateral movement type of player. Really can make you miss in a phone booth type, but also has some punch behind him. Okay, his 27% missed tackle rate was fairly high amongst this class, well, his 13% explosive run rate also up near the top of the class. He's coming off back-to-back 1,500 rushing yard seasons, had 10 touchdowns in 2023 and 17 in 2024. So Taj Brooks is a player that intrigues me. I do think Chase Brown is the guy. Like, I mean, I'm not worried about that. He's going to be the lead of this group. The question comes behind him. Can either of these two players carve out a role as, say, the red zone guy or the power back, maybe a goal line type of player that could have some low-end fantasy value for us that becomes an extremely great handcuff when Chase Brown misses time? My money's on Taj Brooks. I will not be investing in Zach Moss. I want to see how this goes, though. Is Brooks as good as we think he is? Can he go ahead and push Zach Moss? That's what I'm looking for in OTAs. And I want to see, is that rave there through training camp? And can he push and get an open commitment from the coaching staff to say that this is our guy behind Zach Moss. If he's there, I am all in on Taj Brooks being a very viable fantasy asset in the next coming seasons. All right. Staying in the AFC, we're going a little bit south here. All right. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. But before we do that, let's take a break. All right, I was getting ahead of myself there a little bit. We're halfway through. I need a break. You need a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about this Jaguars thing. We got to clear our head after the last few. Let's get in the right headspace because the Jaguars are always tantalizing, right? All right, so let's get to the break on the backside. We'll take a talk on the Jacksonville Jaguars running back room. Alrighty, welcome back in the moment you all have been waiting for, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars. I've lived, I've died, I've been on this sword for years. You know, I touted Tank Bigsby in his rookie season. He let me down. He bounces back somewhatly as a sophomore. I ate crow for saying Travis Etienne wasn't going to be great in Tank Bigsby's rookie season. Meanwhile, he went on and had his best season as a pro in 2023. So, you know, basically what I say probably is the opposite of what's going to happen. So let's just go with it, right? All right, the opposite. Remember, whatever I say, do the opposite. You're probably going to be good. That's how it works with the Jaguars. That's my logic. Feel free to use it. Feel free not to. It's crowded. It's a mess. All three of these players have some viability. And then a new coaching staff, and obviously them bringing in Bashil Tutton, who is, you could argue, their guy. A guy that's raw, has some ball security issues. But boy, can this kid run, man. He's 4'3", 40. All right, solid vision. Once he's in space, he's gone. Okay, he had over 1,100 scrimmage yards in his final two seasons at Tech. 12 and 17 touchdowns leading into his final season. He had a 36% missed tackle force rate, according to PFF, per touch. Very high amongst this class. And he had an 18% explosive run rate. Very high in this class. So the numbers leading towards Tutton, as well as obviously being the guy that the Jaguars brought in with this coaching staff. The existing players' lack of production is also helping Tutton be touted as potentially the guy in this backfield. If you were able to get him earlier in drafts, you got him a little later. He's rising, and he's going to probably continue to rise, okay, along with probably Travis Etienne, because we've seen it from Travis Etienne being a very viable player. There's been some positive quotes coming out of OTAs already on Travis Etienne, something we've seen in the past. But last season, he finished as RB38 with only 8.7 PPR points per week. We've watched his yards per attempt drop from 5.1 to 3.8 to 3.7 just last season. In 2023, even averaging 3.8 yards per attempt, his 11 touchdowns really saved his fantasy season and really was what gave him the production. That was the blip on the radar, okay? That's the out-of-the-norm season thus far in his career. His avoided tackle rate, which is something you would want from Travis Etienne, was only 16%, according to FTN data, was 40th, near the bottom of the grouping here. All right, his 10.7 explosive run rate, also near the bottom of the grouping of qualifying running backs over at FTN data. So it's not a huge tout for Travis Etienne. We're really seeing kind of a drop-off from what we saw. And even in 2023, he wasn't great. It was really the touchdowns that saved him. Okay, we really haven't seen explosiveness from Travis Etienne outside of his, truthfully, second season after he missed his rookie year. So I'm not in on Travis Etienne. I've always been a classic Travis Etienne discourager. I just didn't really like where he would get drafted. I wasn't taking him. Maybe where we sit it, but see, he's going to be close to Tutton, and I'd rather take my chances on Tutton than I would Travis Etienne. I'm just saying. If you want to play the cheap game, Tank Bigsby could be your option. Okay, Tank Bigsby finished as the RB39 last season with only 7.9, but was the better running back in that room. I know the fantasy production wasn't there, but we really saw it. The issue with Tank Bigsby is there's no receiving threat whatsoever. This guy's got stone hands for days, all right? But we really saw him be effective. Although Travis Etienne only averaged 3.7 yards per attempt, Tank Bigsby averaged 4.6, almost a full yard more behind the same offensive line in the same situation last season. So Tank Bigsby really took that step forward, much of what I was expecting in his rookie season. We saw that in his sophomore campaign and was really that downhill power type of runner, got the yards he needed, got moving north and south, and just punished players. He also was making people miss, all right? He was fifth in the league with 28% avoided tackle rate, and his explosive run rate of 11.9 was 14th also, according to FTN data. So a lot of good things from Tank Bigsby last year. The fantasy points weren't there. The offense was struggling. But if I had to wait, Tank Bigsby's probably my play here. I know we want to go with the new shiny toy in Tutton, and I want to see how OTAs come out. But I could see where Travis Etienne is not a Jaguar by the start of the season, and this is Bashaal Tutton and Tank Bigsby. But I can also see where it's Bashaal Tutton and Travis Etienne, and maybe Tank Bigsby is the one who's not on the roster or just doesn't get that viability. Either way, interesting situation to watch. I'm, again, hanging my hat on probably Tutton and Bigsby. I think Travis Etienne may find himself somewhere else. The draft capital, obviously the pairing with the quarterback, going to give Etienne some grace. So, again, I would still be investing in Tank Bigsby. I'd invest in all three of them, just basically at cost. I feel like I'd probably wait for Bigsby, depending on where Tutton and Etienne go, because I feel like there's probably going to be other players in that range that I would like, especially in a startup draft. However, to each their own. If you want to invest, go with Tutton. Take the age. Take the guy that's coming in with the regime. This is not like it's a complete outlier for him to be the fantasy viable player. All right. That's it. That's the Jaguars. Okay. Remember, do whatever I say different. So remember that. Just remember. That's how it works. It seems like that's how it works with the Jaguars. With the New Orleans Saints, not so much. So listen to me on this one. All right. The, much like Jaylen Warren, coveted fantasy breakout every season, Kendre Miller, is in the news again. It's Alvin Kamara. We all know that. Let's not get crazy here. Could be traded. I mean, that would be the most crazy part of it. But for now, it's Kendre Miller. If he's on the roster, not injured, it's Alvin Kamara. If he's on the roster, Alvin Kamara. If he's traded or injured, now we get into that situation where we're talking about Kendre Miller and my favorite player of the running back class in Devin Neal. Not my top running back, just my favorite. All right, so let's cool it there. However, Kendre Miller only really had 1,000-yard season in college, final season, to be honest. 17 touchdowns. That was really his only true blip on the radar at TCU. One of the reasons I was not super high on Kendre Miller coming out. Now, injuries have really derailed his career, has failed to fit playing more than 8 games in an entire season or top 200 rushing yards. Not much we can pull from that. Any advanced data, the sample size is very small, and we're not really seeing it. He's had an opportunity to get on the field as the guy this past season when Kamara got injured, but again, he also fell to another injury and just really wasn't able to push, we'll say, journeyman type of running backs out of the way. So for me, Kendre Miller is dust. He's done. Kaputz. I am not looking at Kendre Miller in any way, shape, or form. The intrigue is watching the battle between Kendre Miller and Devin Neal, because Devin Neal is a player that I would like to invest in and I think can push Kendre Miller into complete irrelevancy. I know we've saw the clip at OTAs. He didn't look that great in that specific drill. However, that drill would not lend well to what Devin Neal does. Devin Neal does not have that lateral agility, isn't overly flexible in those types of ways. What he is a short area speed, subtle leverage attacker. That's how he runs, okay? Quick feet, short little moves, in and out, boom, gone. He's not necessarily making you miss in a phone booth. He's not crazy jump cut type of guy. It's really kind of these subtle kind of start to push you one way, a little bit of a jab step and get back to the other direction, and he's gone. That's just how he plays the game, okay? And he can play football. boys and girls. Three straight seasons of over 1,000 yards at Kansas, back-to-back seasons with 16 rushing touchdowns. It's there. 23% missed tackle forced rate, according to PFF, per touch. 15% explosive run rate. Very good numbers. Near the upper portions of the class. It's a player that I think should be on your radar. I think it's a player we want to monitor here in OTAs and training camp. If he can push Kendre Miller to the side, I would be investing now. I think that Devin Neal has the chance to become the guy, at least on the early downs. There may be some, the passing work, he's meh, but could be serviceable, I guess, if you really want to say. But I do think that there's a chance that he could be kind of the guy if they chose to move on from Alvin Kamara midseason and potentially even be the guy next season with the Saints needing a plethora of things. I don't know if Tyler Shaw is going to work out. So next year they may be looking at a quarterback early and have many voids to fill. So Devin Neal would probably still be even getting that chance to potentially be a very serviceable fantasy asset in 2026 as well as this coming season. All right. So, again, monitor it. Miller versus Devin Neal through OTAs and training camp. Let's move on. Last but not least, much like the Jaguars, we're going to another polarizing room. The Giants, anybody? We've got questions all over the Giants roster. No surprise, right? Quarterback, is it going to be Russell Wilson? Is it going to be Jackson Dart? What do we got there? We also got another rookie in the running back room to maybe dethrone last year's coveted rookie in Tyrone Tracy. We'll see. I think so, but don't tell anyone. All right. But it's Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, Cam Scataboo. All three are going to be talked about. Tyrone Tracy last year was the coveted incoming rookie who really kind of had himself a little run. But you would have thought he was, like, winning people leagues by how much everybody loves Tyrone Tracy. Last season, he only averaged 10.9 points per game. Solid. I mean, they're not terrible. He's running back 28. But let's be honest. He wasn't winning us fantasy football leagues, okay? He had a 20.7 avoided tackle rate. According to FTN data, was 25th, middle of the pack. 9.4 explosive run rate was 35th. That was near the bottom, okay? So there's plenty to be learned from Tyrone Tracy still in the league. Could see a bump with Russell Wilson under center with some dump offs and stuff like that in the passing game if he's the guy. I think he's going to be the third down guy to an extent, but I don't think he gets a full workload here. So if someone thinks that, feel free to trade him quickly before they realize just how good Cam Scataboo is. Devin Singletary, as much as I love him, sadly, he's the odd man out here. His 8.5 explosive run rate was 38th last year. Finished as RB44, 6.3 points per game. So yes, he was significantly less valuable than Tyrone Tracy for a majority of the season. Sadly, Scataboo kind of feels like the end to Devin Singletary. Let's move on to the new fancy toy in Cam Scataboo. Last season, he led the Big 12 with 1,711 rushing yards, which is second in the nation to only the king, Ashton Jeanty. His 21 rushing touchdowns as well, impressive in a final season there at Arizona State. His 2,300 scrimmage yards was second to Ashton Jeanty again. Okay. 8.37% missed tackles forced per touch rate, very high throughout the last five seasons, was also second to Ashton Jeanty, and his 18% explosive run rate also up there for Cam Scataboo. So as much as he looks like he's not moving that fast, he's moving. He's making people miss. He's powering over people. He's making people miss and whiff. You know, all of anything you want from Scataboo, he leans a little bit to that physical side and a little bit more of I'm just going to run you over or get out of my way type of running style, which does lend to some injuries and some concerns of can he do that at the next level. Obviously, playing in the Big 12, there was a little bit bigger boys out there. So we've seen a little bit of that from Cam Scataboo, okay? We saw that run there in the college football playoff as well, really putting his name on the map. So we're seeing it against some higher-level competition as well. So for me, I really think Scataboo is the guy that I want to invest in here. I know it's the new shiny toy, and I know everybody's probably trying to say that. But when it comes down to it, Scataboo feels like a death sentence to both Singletary and Tracy as far as fantasy value goes. Just does. I think Scataboo is going to be the guy that's getting the touchdowns. He is a solid pass catcher. He's a solid player in the passing game, a solid blocker. Everything that you want. He's truly a three-down back that they got a little bit later in the draft. I know he's not as explosive. The speed's not there, the long speed. So Tyrone Tracy has him there. But I do think that as far as moving the chains and things that the NFL's going to want, Cam Scataboo is the guy. And Brian Daboll and them are coaching for their jobs. I think Scataboo will have a pretty significant role in this offense. So maybe call me bullish, whatever you want to say. But I do think that Cam Scataboo is the guy. Again, I want to monitor, see if what I saw on tape really comes to fruition through OTAs and training camp. And again, we're looking for those verbal commitments from coaches, verbal, truly commitments, let's be honest, because coach speak is out there. We know that, how that goes. But we want to see something, maybe, you know, consistent reps in certain positions. Because remember, every player is going to get work with the ones, the twos, the threes, because you're ultimately trying to, at some point, if you've lost your top two running backs, the third running back's got to step in. So he has to have some familiarity with the ones, all right? That's a normal practice in OTAs. So when you see people hyping that on Twitter, just look the other way. Let's be honest. All right. Either way, those are some of those sticky situations that we're talking about here at the running back position and stuff to monitor moving forward through OTAs and training camp in these situations. Obviously, there's more. We'll see it even at the running back position. But these are the main ones that I wanted to cover today. So keep following along. Make sure you like, subscribe, and rate and review all the fun stuff. Podcast on any platform you're listening. Follow me on X at PopesFFH. Follow all the FTN socials. We've got tons of content coming out over there. Make sure you sign up for FTN as well. All right. I think there's rumors we might be getting a Father's Day sale. So if you want to wait a little bit until that sale drops, understandable. All right. Save money any way you can nowadays. But either way, once that comes around, sign up. You get the dynasty ranks, the weekly ranks. Very excited about the rankings over at FTN this year. Both Jeff Radcliffe and Tyler Orginski and myself. Not sure who else is going to join in on us, but I know those three are going to. Tyler and Jeff, great. I'm bringing up the rear, but I'll get up there. All right. Maybe it's my year to finish in the top 10. Either way, we'll get there. All right, boys and girls. But either way, I'm excited if you want to join us. Join along for the ride here at FTN Fantasy. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.